Hey everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We are now the proud sponsors of Timber Outdoor Music Festival. It's a brand new music festival presented by Artist Home, co-creators of Dough Bay Fest. It's going to be good. Timber attendees will enjoy the likes of the Helio Sequence, Fruit Bats, Quasi, Noah Gunderson, Brian John Appleby, Lamolo, and many more. Many who have been on this very show. And it's going to be so much fun, guys. It's going to be 2 days and nights of camping, outdoors, and music in Carnation, Washington. Timber is going to take place July 26th and 27th. You can find out more at timbermusicfest.com. Enjoy the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 154 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden. And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Once every week, folks. Right here. Oh, my God. Coming to you from the sauna that is the dining room studios right now. I've got my shirt off. It's not a pretty sight. Mairead is standing by with a bucket of ice water that I can just dip my head into every once in a while just to keep my core temp down. That's not actually true. She loves to see me in pain. That's the real thing. That's what's going on here. Just suffering. That's it. It is hot here on Pride Weekend here in the beautiful city of Seattle, Washington. We've got a great show planned for you today, folks. This week, joining us here in the dining room studios, the beautiful and the talented Shelby Earle will be stopping by shortly to talk about her new album, Swift Arrows, which we get the honor of basically debuting one of the songs from that new album, and it's fantastic. I made a little bit of a mistake. I did not inform Shelby, nor did I inform her people that we were planning on putting this show up this Monday, tomorrow. The day that you will be hearing this. Well, most of you anyway. The album does not come out until July 23rd. And so that, caused a little bit of uncomfortableness. But we got it taken care of. And they are allowing us to play one song off of it. Which is pretty cool because we're the first ones to do so. So anyway, I hope you guys had a great Pride weekend. Mine was good. I don't like to, the Pride parades, they're fantastic. We've got a lot of friends that participate in those. I am not want to hang around a large group of people in this type of weather. It's just not for me, man. Not for me. Plus, I'd be really embarrassed if I, accidentally rubbed up against somebody and they were like, oh, man, that's a lot of sweat that you just rubbed on my arm from your body. Sweat transfer. I'm afraid of sweat transfer. That's about it. Plus, it's just claustrophobic, right? So me and the family went out to the ancestral Roden household and got to, go hang out on the beach, man. And I got to hang out with an old high school friend that I wasn't really friends with in high school. More like acquaintances. But it was fantastic. It was so much fun. And it made me think, like, wow, we should have been better friends. Or, maybe if I was ever mean to him, maybe I should have been nicer. I don't know. Anyway, it was great. It was great to catch up. Joshua Kunkel, if you're listening to this, I had a great time with you this weekend, man. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, I hope your weekend was well. I hope you guys are doing okay. I hope if you're living here in the Seattle area, or if you're living over on the East Coast, which I know a lot of our listeners do, I hope you're dealing with the weather better than I am. I am wilting like a flower, guys. Anyway, that's about it. That's all I really got. That's all I got for you. We've got a couple of things coming up that I want you to that I want to tell you guys. Well, one thing in particular that I want to tell you guys about right now, of course, happening in. Let's see if I've got the date here. Let's see. Scrolling down this email. Guys. Okay. Wow. August 3rd. We're having another podcast party. Podcast extravaganza with the likes of, let's see, Sean DeTore's mixtape, The Stack of Dimes. Luke Burbank will most likely be there as well. Let's see, The Grapes of Rad and The Sibling Rivalry. We'll all be, hanging out at Naked City Brewery. There on Greenwood Avenue here in North Seattle, one of our favorite haunts, and they've got this amazing outdoor deck now, it's gonna be great. Let's see, things kick off August 3rd, around like five p.m. Be there, drink some beers, hang out with your favorite podcasts, and just have a good time. Last year, we went across the street. We ended up going across the street to the Baranoff and doing Jello shots and these weird Jello syringes. That was a trip. And this year will probably be a lot of the same of that, same as that. The warmth is affecting my brain. But yeah, it's going to be great. August 3rd, guys, come out to the Naked City Brewery and hang out with all of us. Because we would love to hang out with you guys. Next thing on the docket, please remember, go to iTunes and rate and review the show. A couple of you have done so in the recent past, and we really appreciate it. And it'll only take you a couple seconds. You don't really even have to review the show if you don't want to, but give us a star rating. You know, log on to your sister's account, your little sister's account, and rate the show under her account. She will appreciate you doing so. And make sure you download all the episodes too under her thing too. She'll just love you for it, because you will introduce her to her new favorite podcast. That's how that works, guys. Okay, let's do this, shall we? Let's go to our first musical break. This song is called Legend of Persephone, and it's by the beautiful and talented Shelby Earle, one of the greatest people on the planet. I love this lady. And she's so talented, you guys. And this new album is so good. I think you're going to love it. All right, Shelby Earle, Legend of Persephone. This is off of her last full length called Burn the Boats. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everyone.
Three.
There you go. There you go.
Careful.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Maybe you have some with ice in it.
Oh.
Do you do that?
Spritzer?
Yeah,
no, I don't, because my dude
like
is
white
a wine.
Wine.
I've told you, right? Was I dating Saul when I was here
last?
I
don't think so.
My guy is a sommelier.
Ooh.
And he's not a snobby one, but he is.
Is that how you say it?
Sommelier. Yeah, sommelier or sommelier.
See, that's how I learned it.
The French are tricky with their R's. Like, I think it's regional. Like, some French will say sommelier.
Yeah.
And some will say sommelier. And Saul goes back and forth between them. But anyway, no, I don't put ice cubes in my wine.
Wait, where does he work?
He's the wine director for Serafina and
Chicago. Oh, hey,
buddy.
So
that's what's today, is the Serafina garden party.
Oh, man. Well, there's going to be some good food there then,
There's going to be delicious lots of things. Yeah.
Is it on like a rooftop deck or anything like that?
It's out on in their garden patio.
Oh, my God. I've never been there before.
It's good.
I want to go to
that. And Chicchetti is really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Are you recording this?
This is.
Okay. I'm like, they owe
it,
me.
Man. Big time. They just got a huge plug. It's got a huge plug.
Kick back, Serafina Chicchetti. I'll be expecting that.
Well, welcome back to the dining room studios, Shelbs.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for joining me. Your new album, Swift Arrows, comes out on the 23rd
of July.
See, I didn't have anything written down. I was banking on you
just
knowing.
You're just winging it.
I was banking on you knowing the actual date. So
yeah, I know some stuff.
Yeah, I don't feel so bad about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations. This is the second full length that's going to be coming out, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I got an advance copy, which I was just informed that we can't really play any of the music on it yet.
Well, now that's not totally true.
Okay,
we made a deal.
Yeah, we made a deal. There wasn't even a handshake.
No, so but I'm looking you in the eye.
Yeah, but hopefully Joan won't be like super pissed.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I think it's time to start sharing the jams.
Right, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's good.
Well, I'm super excited about it. It's absolutely great, and we'll be sharing a song from there a little bit later. But anyway, yeah, welcome back. It's always a pleasure to have you. You are like kind of a listener favorite on this program. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Cause I talked to you, let's see, when Burn the Boats came out, we had you up here, and then we talked a little bit at Sasquatch last year.
Yeah. 2012. On a sort of drinky, hot Sasquatch day.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
In the sweaty, hot news tent.
The press tent.
Yes.
Which is always a clusterfuck of people. And
oh, you can say that, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can swear.
We're on the internet.
Shit ass.
Yeah. Yeah, because one of my songs has the word shit in it. Look at, there it is. I just said it. And I've played it twice now on radio, live. I've played it twice live.
Did they catch it?
Well, no. The first one, the Annalisa Nodder, who sings with me on the record and live all the time, she wasn't with me that day, so I was the only one singing. And I had practiced that I was going to sing "This Is Getting Real" instead of "The Shit's Getting Real."
And then you forgot.
And then on air, nerves took over, and I went into, you know, vocal. Your chords have a memory.
Right, right.
And there it was, just right out there on a major commercial radio station, which will remain unnamed, so that they don't get fined.
So they don't
but
get in
this
trouble.
Time, we just played live on KXP, and
Annalisa
and I, we looked each other in the eye, as it was coming.
Made the eye contact.
And said, "This is getting real." But anyway, on the Air Raid podcast, the shit's getting real.
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty much hitting the fan.
Hitting the fan.
Yeah, yeah. It is so hot in dining room studios right now.
It's blazing.
Yeah. This is what happens. Like, Seattle can't handle the heat. And I think, you know, when it gets really hot on the West Coast, it gets very muggy. Like it does on the East Coast as well. I mean, you're close to water bodies, and that's what happens.
But people are prepared. People have air conditioning units in their windows. People have...
Not me, people.
Plans. No, I mean on the East Coast.
Oh, on the East Coast.
People
are
prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
Some West Coast, Los Angeles people are prepared.
Right.
Seattle people are lost.
Not prepared. Never prepared, because it only happens for about maybe a week, like a solid week, and then everybody's just dying.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, because my house is about 150 degrees right now.
Yeah.
And this is my first summer in that house, so it's going to be a long one.
Oh, my God. What are you doing for the 4th of July?
Having a little soiree. I live a block from the water.
Oh, nice. Wait, do you live right down under, on like Eastlake or something?
Yeah, I'm in Eastlake.
Oh, man. So you can like see all the huge fireworks and everything like that.
Literally a block from the water, directly where the boat, where the barge is.
Nice.
So
it gets crazy down there, too.
It's crazy down there.
That's where they like.
You're invited if you can get if you can even face it.
I get the shit out of the city. Like, I get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, you know, big parades and stuff, like, I am gone.
Yeah, then
count
you don't want
out.
This.
Count
you,
me out.
You don't want this party.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they block off this whole section for people outside of Seattle. They block off this whole section of Eastlake Avenue. Well, is it actually Eastlake that they closed down? Or is it, like, one street down.
It's down. Yeah, it's down from Eastlake. But yeah, I mean,
but it just becomes this huge, like, almost like a huge block party down there, right?
Essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have friends coming over who have kids. Uh-huh. I've put the warning out there. I'm like, enter at your own risk, man.
Just don't play that song where you say shit in it. And
no,
everything's
going
to be fine.
It'll be a G-rated 4th of July party, at least at my house.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm excited because my grandparents have some lake property up in Lake Bosworth.
Oh, nice.
That's where I'm going, man.
Well, I would do that,
sit
too.
Sit on the dock and
were I
in.
As fortunate as you, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm just living the dream over here, Shelbs.
Yeah, and it's all really tough for me.
Let's talk about how tough it is. You've been having a week this week.
Oh, yeah, but we don't want to bore people.
You don't want to talk about that?
I mean, I'll... It's been a week of logistical challenges, and that's such a bore for people to hear about.
Well, we're leading up to the album coming out, Swift Arrow's coming out on July 23rd.
Yeah, 23rd.
And this is like where things start getting real, right? Like you're putting art out there, you're trying to get all the, you know, the cover made up and everything like that, logistical nightmare.
It's been a logistical nightmare, I'm not going to lie. But I'm only this angsty about it because your visuals matter. You know, it's part of the
totally
art.
Does.
So it's part of what you put out there. Mm-hmm. And I actually yesterday asked someone, am I becoming a diva? Because it didn't seem to be this hard in the past.
Yeah.
And somebody said, no, you've become an artist. So this is part of your art. This is part of what you present to the world. And I'm not interested in putting it out there if it's not cool and interesting, you know,
and
beautiful or whatever, you know. And so that's what we're working toward, just way behind schedule.
I just wanted to start this episode out, like, just stressing you out.
No.
Making you just like a ball of stress throughout the whole thing.
No, because remember I said last week was last week.
Yeah.
Sunday is the first day
of the
technically
new week.
Of the new week.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're starting over today, Aaron. Get with me on it.
I'm with you. But last week was fantastic for you because you had a couple of articles come out talking about the new album, right?
True.
Like
yes.
Seattle Met, which
yes.
is a magazine.
Last week
in
was
Seattle.
Not all bad. That is true.
Yeah. So what were the two the Seattle Met was one, and then what was the other one?
Yes, Seattle Met did an article. I think they called it the New Sound of Seattle or the New Seattle Sound.
Right.
And they featured. I figured. I mean, they told me it was their music issue, and I figured it was going to be like 20 bands, and there were three of us.
Yeah.
It was the Physics on sort of the hip hop front.
Yeah.
And then Pickwick. Who are pals and amazing band. And then me, little old me.
Little old Shelby
and
girl.
The feature was huge and awesome.
Yeah.
So that was exciting. And then Seattle Magazine also did a feature. This one was very fun and unique in that Nancy Guppy has a column.
Yeah,
in
where
Seattle
she takes
Magazine.
You out for like a drink or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the Gupster. Those of you who do not know Nancy Guppy, she's a bit of a legend in Seattle. Yep. She was a character actor on Almost Live forever.
She's been on this show before, yeah.
Oh, has she?
Yeah, okay. A long time ago.
And she has her own show in Seattle called Art Zone. And now she's got a column in Seattle Magazine.
Yeah, dude. She's doing some great stuff.
She's doing great stuff. And she's just a supporter of the arts kind of across the board. And also hilarious. She's about half my size. So to end the interview, she picked me up and tried to carry me out of the coffee shop.
What?
Yeah. That was her.
She looks like she was like, she's like amazingly strong. Like,
she is strong.
I've seen pictures of hers where she's actually like, you know, she's flexing her babe muscles, you know?
Yeah. And like, I mean, she's ripped.
She
Nancy
is ripped.
Guppy is ripped.
Yeah.
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 But anyway, so that was that. It was cool.
That's great.
We had
great,
a good
though.
Time, the Gupster. Yeah. Thankfully, she did ask me a few, you know, sort of her whole thing is unusual questions that you may not be asked in other interviews. She asked me a few that I answered really honestly, and then I had like night terrors about them.
Don't tell me you called her up and were like,
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. I did not say a word. I was like, I said it and I answered honestly and we'll see. And she edited those out. So that was.
Oh, she did?
Thanks, Nance.
What was it?
What was it? Who's hotter, Mayor Mike McGinn or Chef Tom Douglas? Like, there were a few things like that. And
they look exactly alike.
And I just like went for it. And then I was like, oh my God, that's so mean and terrible. But
that's kind of like the boxers or briefs question.
Yeah, that, except that these are humans who I answered really fast. So I'm not going to tell you what my answer was. But anyway.
So well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, but those both came out last week. So
yeah.
Take well, that, some, Seattle.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you've been getting a lot of good press lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been exciting. Hopefully there's lots more coming.
Yeah. Has it become kind of normal for you yet? Second album in, you've got a lot of people are talking about you, especially here in Seattle.
Yeah.
And has it become normal? I mean,
well, I guess more so. The cool thing about both the Seattle Met and Seattle Magazine features is that those were in print.
Mm-hmm.
And there is just something different about hard copies. Yeah. And we're all so used to seeing everything online and it all kind of blurs.
Yeah. It's,
we're not quite as moved by press online.
Right. Right.
But I have heard way more from people about these two articles than anything else. And I think it's because they're like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's real.
Print is still kind of...
it's in a glossy magazine.
Yeah, totally. Know? Right, right.
So,
yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever be used to it. It's hard to sort of internalize. I look at all this stuff nervously and then think, yay, you know, I'm glad anyone believes in me. And then I sort of move on. And I don't think it's like building my own mythology to me. I still know me. So it's,
yeah.
You know,
you're not going to change. You're going to be the,
ideally, no,
you're going to be the same Cheryl that, that you've always been.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cheryl, Earl, Sherbs,
Cheryl,
whatever.
Yeah, Sherbs.
Yeah. Choose your poison. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you know, I've met a few artists recently, from playing shows with them who have, you know, infinitely more success than I have had at this stage, who never internalized it. You can tell
right.
They're just doing their thing, you know, and it doesn't mean that they're not affected at all, but they've certainly stayed grounded enough, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's inspiring.
Yeah.
It's
let me ask you this. Has the dream changed at all since you've been doing it for a while now?
You know, not really. I mean, I feel closer to reaching sustainability, which has been my first goal.
Yeah.
And I've known that for a while. Like, I just want this thing to pay for itself and keep feeding itself
uh-huh.
so that I can keep recording and making music. I mean, I've got enough new songs for the third record, but I need this to pay for itself first, mm-hmm. you know? So that's,
yeah.
And that's a lot closer.
Yeah.
And so that's really exciting. But the ultimate dream of making this my life, my career, and then having that mean something to people,
mm-hmm.
that has not changed. I mean, that's still best case scenario to
right,
me.
Right.
So
yeah, totally.
Feels a little closer, knock on wood, but yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about this new album for a little bit here. Cause I think when we talked at Sasquatch, you were just getting ready to go and record it.
That's right. Yes.
And it was like kind of a hush hush secret of who you were working with.
That's right.
On that one. And now the cat's out of the bag. Of course you worked with Damian Jurado on that.
That is right. And you were trying to coerce me into saying.
And I did off air. You told me.
Yeah.
You
and
told
I think I gave hints on
you did.
Air. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was only, you know, keeping it in the bag because I was so nervous that Damian was going to be too busy to do it.
Right. Like he would back out.
Yeah. And that I would have told a bunch of people it was happening and then had to backtrack. But it was really amazing. The stars kind of aligned. We had this one meeting, which would have been right before I saw you,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and talked about what we were going to do. He had a whole plan for recording already laid out, but he said in that meeting, you've got your work cut out for you. You need to be really, really well practiced, because the whole plan essentially centered on us recording live.
Uh-huh.
So I did. I worked my ass off.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the songs finished and as polished as I could get them, and practiced with, I had two other guitar players record track with me live on acoustics. It was Reagan Crow from Shim and then Eric Hawk from The Lashes. So the three of us practiced more than anyone. We did just hours and hours and hours of sitting together, playing all the songs, playing through all the songs on acoustic, two of us playing the same thing, and then a third player playing the same thing but in a different voicing on the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
So because Damian's whole idea was this sort of lush sound that wraps around you even with acoustic guitars. So it was a really interesting vision.
Like a blanket.
Yeah, like a blanket, something like that.
A warm blanket of guitars.
That's right. So, yeah, we worked hard.
Yeah. How long did it take you guys?
To track?
Yeah, to do basically like the live recording.
Well,
session.
You know, we did a lot of the work ahead of time. So when we got in the studio, we had an initial 7 days booked at the studio, and
at
this
the
was
Columbia
the whole
City,
yeah,
City a, Theater, right?
Exactly, yeah. Columbia City Theater, and the whole amazing thing was, first try, everybody's schedules aligned,
mm-hmm.
all the players, Damian, the theater, and then Gary Mula, who runs the recording studio at Columbia City, so he engineered the whole project,
right?
And everyone was available for this 1 week, but I still thought, this will just be the beginning of the project. We'll try to get basic tracks and, you know, just in this first window of time, then Damian was going to go on tour. Well, it just happened really, really fast. And we tracked 13 songs in 2 days, including everything, vocals, like all the basics, for those songs. And then we reworked a 14th song that ended up being the title track, Swift Arrows.
Yeah, yeah.
That song wasn't finished. It was this one that I said, well, I also kind of have this other sketch of a song idea. Let me play it for you and see what you think. And that was on the third day.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that Jacob James, who played a lot of the piano parts on the record, he was there that day. And he was like, what about this? How about this part? And then I just put my guitar down. And Eric Hawk picked up a bass because the bass player wasn't there that day.
Uh-huh.
And we recorded that song live,
yeah.
the three of us. And it ended up being by far one of my favorite tracks on the record. And
oh, that's
it
great.
Was very cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. we spent total at the end of the day, we spent 8 days. It was like 7.5 or 8 days.
Well, that's not
tracking.
Too bad.
No, I spent a year making my last record.
Yeah.
No, 8 days is nothing.
Yeah.
That's with backing vocals. And,
right.
You know, organ parts and
all the
strings.
Drums tracked and everything. Like
everything. I mean, yeah. So
that's insane.
It's insane.
So what was it like then working with Mr. Gerardo? Was he kind of a slave driver when it came to this kind of stuff or what?
Well, I don't know if I'd put it that way, but he's definitely intense. He moves very fast in a great way. Like I didn't have time to get hung up on myself. I mean, he had said to me when he proposed this idea of doing everything live, he said, I'm going to sit in front of you and you're going to perform that shit for me.
Yeah.
So scary. Especially scary because I admire him a lot
as an
artist
totally.
Himself. So
totally.
Well,
were you nervous
so
too about
intense.
Doing it in like a theater setting too? Like, were you nervous about how it was going to sound and everything?
Yeah, it was all a big experiment. And I kind of told myself that so that I could relax. I just thought it's an experiment. We'll give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work, the only thing that's lost is money. And that is truly
money's
though,
pretty important, though, especially
important.
When it comes to recording.
Money's important, but you spend so much more money on all the back end of
that's
it
true.
Than
that's
you
true.
Do
yeah.
on just those tracking days.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, you know, yes, money is important and it matters to me. But still, the point was, I don't have to put it out. You know, it doesn't. If it crashes and burns, it doesn't have to be a big disaster in my life.
Yeah.
It's an experiment. But it just so happened that it was this totally magical experience for everyone. Like, nobody wanted to go home. We would just, I mean, we just kept working. And Damien had a lot to do with that. He was very encouraging, very supportive, and, like, really only made changes when he felt super strongly about something.
Right, yeah.
And that happened a couple times and he was always right. I mean, his instincts are very, very good. He actually said to me at one point, it took me 10 years to figure out how to do this right. Shelby, let me save you some time. And so I went, yeah, that is true. And I choose to trust you. So it was definitely,
that's great.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of trust involved.
Yeah.
But, and he said to me a couple times, I'll tell you if it's not good, you know, don't worry. I'm not, cause he did a lot of like, we would do a first take and he'd go done. And we would go, but no, but, and he would go, trust me.
Yeah.
That felt so good. Don't touch it.
That's fantastic.
So scary, though.
Yeah,
really,
yeah,
really,
yeah, right, right,
really
right.
Scary. But the cool thing is that it sounds like I sound live.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's great.
Which
that's
is,
great.
Is vulnerable.
Let's do this. Let's play a song
okay.
from the new album. This song is called The Artist. This is one that I have not been able to get out of my head.
Oh, nice.
Since
awesome.
You guys sent it to me.
Awesome.
So let's take our second musical break. This is called The Artist off of the new album by Shelby Earle, Swift Arrows. That'll be available on July 23rd. And hopefully we won't get in trouble for playing this.
No trouble.
We've
only
already
good
got
feelings.
The eye contact contract. All right.
That's right.
All right. The Artist. We'll be back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears in just a moment. Hang with us.
You love you too.
guessing that would be a bad idea.
I'm thinking jail.
Definitely lead to prison time. Yeah. And a lot of visits with CPS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. That was The Artist by Shelby Earle. And joining me here in Dining Room Studios is that artist, Shelby. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah. We didn't really go anywhere.
No.
But, God.
Just kind of right here.
Yeah. We haven't left. Yeah. I want to stick my head in the freezer right now.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. Like, I've even taken my headphones off because it was too hot.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I didn't want to sweat on your headphones.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I suffer from a condition called hot feet.
No.
Medical. Yeah, it's medical
That's
condition.
Terrible.
It's the worst. Like
hot feet.
Hot feet.
No.
I don't know what it is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay,
it just
you have no
sounds
idea.
Terrible.
It is horrifying. It's like so
oh
like year
God.
Round my feet are like the hottest part on my body. And sometimes like they get so hot like I can't sleep. I got to go dip my feet in cold water. And I think it's like genetic or something because I think my daughter has it. Because we'll be
oh
like driving
God.
In the car or something like that. And she'll be like, Daddy, socks off. Socks off.
She has hot
Shoes
feet.
Off. Socks off. My daughter's got hot feet. I gave my
Are
kid
sure
hot
feet. Are you sure she's not a hippie?
She could be a hippie.
She's trying to get
She
free.
Is two.
Yeah.
I think every two-year-old is basically
She just
a
feels
hippie.
Bound, Aaron.
Right.
Let her get free, man.
Right. By the
Open
social constructs we call shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed that. That's one of my, like I was saying before we left for the break, that is one of my favorite songs off of this new album. And when I first heard it, I was like, that's about a boyfriend.
No.
Do tell.
Please, do
please
tell.
Tell me what this song is really about.
No, this is a song that gets to belong to anyone who wants it to be their own because
okay.
So this is the only co-write on the album.
Uh-huh.
I co-wrote it with my friend Lance Payne, who's a great songwriter. I've known him for many years, been a fan of his. And we wrote this one afternoon over beers, sort of laughing about how ridiculous and impossible it is to date a musician. And what a sort of bad idea it is. And so
well, it's basically like a kind of a song about like narcissism, right?
Well, yes. And it's us poking fun at ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Okay. Okay.
So no, there's no boyfriend. I'm the boyfriend in this song. Yeah. I mean, truly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what a pain in the ass to date me. I mean,
now, how's your boyfriend? Your boyfriend now? Like, has he weighed in on this?
No,
he's
but
heard
he,
the song, right?
Yeah, and he okay. like snickers. You know,
he sits over the corner, is just like, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I mean he.
I don't know why I made your boyfriend sound like Sling Blade.
Think.
Cheese fries.
No, I mean he knows not to say. He can't say too much. He just knows in his heart.
Yeah, yeah. He knows it's true.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
that's
so,
what it's
I mean,
about.
How did you guys go about writing this, though? Did you know that this is subject matter that you wanted to cover?
Well, I had the...
Because it is kind of a... It's,
I
mean,
I
if it's
had
about
the,
you, it's personal.
Well, I had this I love you, you love you too line in my head uh-huh. in like a serious song way.
Okay.
But I have a way of doing that. Like
yeah.
making things heavier than they need to be. And Lance writes pop songs.
Okay.
Like that's totally what
yeah.
he does. So he came up with the chord progression and we worked, although I guess it changed in what we ultimately recorded. He lives in Nashville, so he wasn't here when we actually brought it to the band and,
oh, okay.
and fleshed it out for the recording. Yeah. But yeah, that like poppy feel good vibe is more what Lance does. I was like, how can I crush people's souls with this idea? And then he was like, or... How about instead?
Let's make it kind of happy.
A good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what we ended up with.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of want to move away from talking about the music. But
okay.
Whoa,
where are we going?
final thought on this. Are you happy with how everything turned out?
With the record?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I I definitely feel like it's different from the first record. So I think that people who, and I mean mostly production, the production quality is different, because we did so much of it live. I've gotten super strong positive responses from people I didn't hear from before. You know? And then I'm sure there are people out there who loved the first record and are kind of like, what is this new sound? You know? So I'm happy with it. I'm proud of it. It feels like a moment in time, you know, because that's how we captured it. Rather than tweaking something over a year. That's a really long way of saying yes. I'm happy with it. I'll be even happier when the
the art's done, when the album t-shirts are in.
So, yes, when I can actually put it in people's hands, I will be happy.
Good deal. Good deal. And, well, I guess we never mind. Never mind. I'm going to segue into this next thing. Well, it's not really a segue at all. This is my segue, is explaining to people that this isn't a segue.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm tracking.
Now, where are you from originally? Again?
That's a hard question. I mean, at this point,
cuz you were kind of military kid, right?
No, not military kid, but my early years were in Washington State. Born in Spokane, but I never lived in Spokane. My parents lived in Cheney.
That's right.
But that was, no, I mean, I lived in Cheney for like 3 months, and then we moved to Olympia.
Okay.
And I spent the first 10 years of my life in Olympia, Washington.
Okay.
So, and then a few years after that, my parents divorced when I was 10 or whatever. And my mom remarried someone who lived in Los Angeles. So I ended up spending junior high and high school in Los Angeles, and then, you know, all my summers during college. So I kind of had this, I mean, that definitely, those were formative years.
Yeah.
So that affected a lot. But I moved back here to go to University of Washington. So, So now at this stage in my life, most of my years have been spent here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a Seattle girl.
You are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My identifying with Los Angeles was strong but brief. So I sort of moved beyond it now.
Did you make a lot of strong like relationships in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That you like keep up today?
Yeah, absolutely. Really? And when I go play LA, I see those people. I was just there in May and saw people I hadn't seen in years, and it was very cool. Of course, the interesting thing was at those LA shows, there were tons of Seattle people who have, you know, relocated to LA. And I was like, see, now Seattle people are my people. So even when I'm in California, it's the Seattle people at the shows.
Yeah.
But no, I had a very intense high school experience. My school was part of LA Unified School District and very racially integrated. White was the minority at my school. Uh-huh. And it was intense times. Like the LA riots happened. I mean, shut down, you know, for that.
What was that, 95?
Aaron, we don't have to talk 96? About it. It was a while ago.
I'm just trying to get my bearings because we went to like Disneyland.
No, yeah, that was like 93 or 94.
Okay.
The riots.
Okay, yeah.
But also like massive earthquake. The Northridge.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Northgate, but that's here in Seattle. the Northridge earthquake happened my junior year or senior year, I can't remember. But
whoa.
And so kids at my school it was just very intense. We worked through a lot of stuff. I actually spoke at my high school graduation, and the whole speech was about how we were this class that could overcome all racial barriers and all, you know, floods and fires and earthquakes to succeed. You know, it was this really intense,
inspirational speech.
But also just time in all of our lives.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Whoa.
You don't get all that in Seattle.
No, I didn't have that in Paulsbo. I was just like, no. I want to get the hell out of here.
Right. I came back to Seattle and was like, wow, you guys are really calm. It's very chill. And I'm a little bored.
What was going through that earthquake like?
Oh.
I mean, did you feel it?
Terrifying.
Yeah, it was
bad. Oh, yeah, I felt it. We lived too, right? 10 minutes from the epicenter. And it happened at 4:30 in the morning. My parents were out of town.
Oh, my God.
And I had two friends over. Uh-huh. Thankfully, I had friends over. And... No, I mean, one of those friends was in my bedroom with me. She was sleeping on the couch right next to my bed. And we both sat up and looked at each other and said goodbye.
What?
Yeah, we had no idea. It sounded like a freight train or going through my yard or as if a bomb had been dropped right there. I've never, ever heard a sound like that. It was the loudest, most terrifying. We were shouting at each other and could barely hear each other in
just
my
from
room.
Like the shaking of like the your
and
house
the,
like...
and the earth moving.
Yeah.
It's really loud and disruptive.
Wow.
So it was crazy. And then I went running down the hallway to get to my other friend. And I slipped and fell on the ground and didn't even realize that I had slipped on glass. The entire hallway was full of glass. So it was very dramatic. The girls, the two girls were at either end of the hallway watching this happen, both screaming at the top of their lungs.
So you were like walking on broken glass?
But here's what's crazy. I had not a single cut.
Really?
And I think it's adrenaline. We climbed. We had to climb over furniture in the pitch black to get out of my house and walked into the street in our pajamas to try to find neighbors or, anyone. Yeah. And then there were like 6-point aftershocks.
Oh, yeah.
Like massive earthquakes as aftershocks. It was awful. I do not recommend it. I ended up in, disaster relief therapy or like, what's that? What's the word? Natural disaster therapy.
Natural disaster therapy?
Yes, which is a thing because for the next like 6 months or so, every night I thought someone was breaking into our house. I like couldn't sleep or I'd wake up in the middle of the night and be certain that I heard someone breaking into the house. And so my mom...
So it's like post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, so, yeah. Which we didn't understand. I didn't know what was going on. My mom took me to see this natural disaster therapist. Counselor, who said that's the most common symptom after a big earthquake because when the earth moves, you feel like anything could happen.
Right.
Your entire sense of security is just gone.
Yeah.
So in LA, the next most obvious thing is that your house is getting broken into.
Yeah.
And you're going to be robbed and mugged or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't recommend it, man.
Dude, that's intense.
It was very intense.
That's really intense.
And, you know, there have been a few that are like big by Seattle standards.
Yeah.
And I cannot handle it. I can't do it.
Like,
no.
it kind of like brings you back? Oh, is it almost like a flashback almost?
Yeah. I mean, some people are like, earthquakes are fun. And... That is not
that
true
is
when
the
they're
dumbest
real.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Like, well, yeah, it was like a 3.5 earthquake that.
Yeah.
You go whoa, and then that's that.
Yeah,
sure.
There was a bigger earthquake. I think it was like 1998, in the Seattle area.
Yes,
my dad. We were watching. I remember we were watching Seinfeld. Seinfeld was on at that time, and my dad instantly like runs out onto the deck. And it was like, whoa, like he was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like he had never really felt one that big before.
Yeah.
And our deck, like our house sat on like this steep hill.
No, Dad.
And I was just like, even at that age, this was way before I was a geologist.
Right.
And I was like, don't do that.
Don't,
that was
Dad.
Really dumb, Dad.
Yeah.
Like, because that's the first thing that's going to go is that deck, Father.
Yeah. Actually.
And you on top of it.
And you, Dad. No, that I was here for the 98 one.
Uh-huh.
So I had just moved here.
Yeah.
And I was in a hip hop dance class.
Right. We've talked about this
when
before.
That happened. But that was here in Seattle. And my instinct was to run into a doorway.
Yeah.
And then the shaking stopped, and I realized that I was standing in the doorway to the weight closet.
Oh my God.
Like free weights.
So like the free weights.
There was
like
an entire massive rack of free weights.
What?
Next to me. So that was cool.
Man, similar, you and my dad, full of bad decisions.
I was going to say, similar to your dad's instincts, bad, wrong,
really,
and
really
bad.
Really bad decision-making when the earth starts moving mm-hmm. a lot. Well, the reason I wanted to ask you about high school is because I had the chance to, like, I never made, like, super solid connections when I was in high school.
Okay.
And, like, well, I mean, I had, you know, I had some, you know, a core group of friends and stuff like that. But, like, after I left high school, like, everybody just kind of disbanded. Like,
okay.
You know, splintered off.
They got then, out of Paul's boat.
Right, yeah. Right. And everybody that I know now, like, you know, friends that I have now, like yourself and other people are all still, like, they have still that core group.
Well, no, my high school friends are not my core group of friends.
Well, of course. I mean, they mostly live down in L.A., right?
Well, and so, it got weird for a lot of them.
It got weird?
Yeah, as it does in L.A.
Shit got
like,
real.
Like, there was when shit got real real. I mean, I think... I won't even go into it, but I had a night in LA back visiting that made me go, okay, yeah. I think I'm done with this community.
Really?
Yeah. There were a couple of weird, there were some weird experiences. What? Yeah. I'm not going to go into it.
No.
They're still my friends on Facebook.
Okay.
But you know, LA, everything that happens is like, just magnified. Lots of famous people, lots of ambition,
mm-hmm.
Big dreams, a lot of big dreams.
A lot of big dreams
and
a lot of like,
drugs and bad decisions.
Yeah, a lot of those big dreams coming crashing down in a big way too, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it got intense for some people and I was like, wow, I'm really grateful for my healthy Seattle friends. Who seemed boring to me at first, and then I was like, nope, you're just healthy. This is good.
You guys are on the right track.
Yeah,
this is
good, yeah. I will leave it at that.
Yeah. But I had the chance yesterday, a buddy of mine, well, more of like an acquaintance from high school,
okay,
came back from New York and is moving to New Zealand. And before he goes to New Zealand, he stopped by Paul's Bow area, and we hung out last night, and we weren't even like really close friends in high school, but it was so awesome to see this guy.
Nice.
And it was so great, and it like made me kind of think, I was like, first of all, I should have been better friends with this guy in high school.
Yeah, but you don't know who the cool people are
in
high
school. Yeah, but then we'd probably be non-friends now and hate each other.
Right, but again, like, you don't know who are the actual quality people in high school.
Right.
You're interested in much more base things in high school.
Yeah.
Sadly.
For me, it was boobies and marijuana.
Okay. Yeah. I was just busy writing poetry.
Were you that kid?
No, yes, and also a cheerleader.
The artsy.
So I was
the artsy cheerleader.
I was a confused amalgamation
of conflicted.
I was also a hip-hop dancer at the same time.
Yeah
it was weird, man. Seattle focused me. It's good I'm here. Who knows what would have become of me there. Oh my God.
I love it though. I love that hip-hop dancer story.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And if you want to hear that, you can go into our archives at www.air-raid.net and go listen to the first time we had Shelby Earle on, where she drops that bomb on us. Which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to think if I have any other bombs for you.
Yeah, come on, bring it, sister.
I don't really have any other, like, for public consumption ones. Sorry.
That saddens me. I wanted you to really open up. You, like, I mean, you gave me a couple nuggets. You're like, yeah, shit got weird.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there is that... There is a point with music, right, where you just, I have a history of saying what everything's about.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to do that quite as much with this record. I think there's room for people to interpret things and make them their own. And that's, I don't know, it's just better.
I get that. I mean, we're definitely in an age right now, and there's like this whole debate going on right now, too, about like how much, like, especially the younger generation, younger than us, is sharing
on the
internet. Because, like, exactly. You know, I would say, well, I don't know. I don't know how much of the younger generation is you know, really vehemently against, you know, what the government is doing right now, where
right.
they're, you know, looking at people's phone records and being able to, you know, look at that stuff.
Yeah, maybe they don't care.
Constantly.
They're like, whatever, it was also in my Facebook post.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obvious that the real younger generation doesn't really care about it. I mean, there's these things like Snapchat where people are, like, you know, sending naked pictures of themselves to each other.
Oh, dear God. You know,
and then it all gets out and gets on Twitter. And
see, when I was in high school, I used to prank call people, and that was so exciting.
We were just talking about that yesterday.
That was such a good time.
It was a great time.
But now there's none of that to be had.
You can't prank call anybody anymore because they will know who you are.
Yeah, but you also already know everything about those people. I mean,
right.
You know, those were people I was trying desperately to, like, get a connection to in some way, you know, or whatever.
So you would
weird
prank
reasons.
Them?
Oh, yeah, hot boys.
That was
boys.
Your way of getting in.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, hot boys, yeah.
Or just, I don't know. What? I mean, why do you prank call people?
I don't know.
Aaron.
That's a good question.
Anyway, you know what I'm getting at.
I know, like, yeah.
There's no mystery. There's nothing.
Yeah.
These kids are just give up.
See, I come on this show every week and I, like, spill my guts about what's going on in my brain. So I'm, like, more, I don't know, more used to, like, you know, putting it all out there, I guess. But that's, like, maybe I'm just more. This song, the artist, is about me. Because I am, like, the worst type of narcissist.
Oh. You know?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's good you know it. See, this is the thing.
I wrote a lot about myself in this episode.
No, I wrote that song so that nobody could turn it around on me. I already said it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Whatever. Nice observation. I said it first.
Well, Shelby, it's been a pleasure having you back on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to divulge on one of those stories when we press stop here.
Well, you can. Next time we'll drink more. And then
it'll be cool. Let's do this in the winter next time.
Yeah.
Can we? Please,
yeah.
God.
Hot toddies.
Yeah, there
you go. That sounds terrible right now, though.
It does, but now I'm thinking about being cold and actually drinking one of those. That would be really nice. Yeah, hot feet, man. Hot feet. Look it up. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a real thing. And my daughter's got it now. Poor kid. Ugh. I remember it, man, when I was younger, like, I would have to, like, it would bug me so much, I would have to go and stand outside.
Okay.
With my feet on the cold concrete.
Aw.
Yeah.
So you should never live in a hot climate.
No. Not when you have to work in it. I will go and lay on a beach for 2 weeks straight in, like,
fair enough, yeah.
In weather like this, but it's got to be near water.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be near water.
Cool off those toes.
That's right.
Hot feet.
Yeah. Hot feet. Mm-hmm. Ugh. What should we go out with? We're gonna play some stuff off of your last album, Burn the Boats.
Oh.
What should we close out with this week, Shelbs?
What's your poison? You wanna do Under Evergreen? Or You've Got Me Undone? What do you want?
Slow Let's do
jam?
That. Let's yeah, let's
You've Got
do
Me
that.
Undone.
You've Got Me Undone. Yeah. This is Shelby Earl. Off of her first full length, Burn the Boats, You've Got Me Undone. And we'll be back next week with another good friend of the show, Kyle Stevens from the band Kirby Crackle, the nerd rock band Kirby Crackle.
All right.
That have been doing some great stuff. And they've got a new album coming out too on the 9th. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. Hey, have a safe and sound July 4th. I hope we get to... We get to hear from you. If you lose a finger, we want to know about it. email us. Email me a picture. Aaron@air-raid.net because I am way into that shit.
If you lose a finger, put it on ice.
Put it on. Words of wisdom. Shelby Earl. All right, everybody. Have a safe 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, America. We'll see you next week. And,